Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma is Nun. We are on the very top of Nun Amud Aleph. First words, Eisvei. So obviously, Eisvei means that we're going to be starting we're in the continuing a discussion that we had yesterday. So let's back up. Let's go back to yesterday's daf. So in yesterday's daf, this is now the beginning, towards the beginning of the fifth parak of Yuma. Since the beginning of this particular parak, so we're continuing our description of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. And the Avodas Yom HaKippurim that is done sequentially, all the way going back to his preparation to the actual Itzumo Shel Yom, to the actual day itself. And in the course of the fifth perek, we are now up to the point where he's going to be bringing in the Ketores and the Machta, and he's going to be burning the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's going to create that cloud of smoke that's going to allow him entrance. I mean, I know he's in there, but it's going to allow him entrance in order so that he could bring the blood of the par, the blood of the seir, and sprinkle both of them in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that is where we are in terms of the steps and stages of Yom HaKippurim. And so, but in yesterday's daf, so we dealt with some of the more fundamental questions revolving around this particular portion of the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Yesterday, if we can just try to distill yesterday's daf. So yesterday we wanted to know that when the Kohen Gadol goes in, and to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does he do Chafina again? Does he have to go through the process of transferring the Ketores into his two cupped hands? So obviously he's going to be cupping his hands in order to get the Ketores from the shovel, in order to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But once he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so does he have to go ahead and do it again? Remember, he transferred over into a spoon. And the reason why he did that is because there's no way to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim holding a shovel full of coals and also holding two handfuls of Ketores. So there's no way to do it. So he transferred over into a spoon. And now he's walking in with a shovel and with a spoon. And good. Now when he goes in there, does he have to go ahead and transfer once again the Ketores from the spoon into his hands and then lay it on top of the coals? The answer was yes. Okay. Make a longer Gemara shorter. The conclusion of yesterday's daf was that's exactly what he needs to do. And to use the terminology of the Gemara, that is chofen v'chozer v'chofen. He does the chafina a second time. Another discussion that we had yesterday, a good part of yesterday's daf, was, Rachmanis, what happens if the Kohen Gadol dies after the shechting of the par? Kohen Gadol did vidui over the par how many times? Two times. One time he did vidui over the par for himself and for his immediate family. A second time he did vidui for all the Kohanim. And if you remember the steps clearly, the sequence clearly of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, it's vidui on his part the first time, then the selection of the Seir, which Seir is Lashem, and which Seir is Lazazel. Then afterwards he goes back to the par, does vidui a second time, then he shechs the par. The blood is going to be handed over, obviously with the Kabbalah Saddam. The blood is going to be handed over to another Kohen so the other Kohen can stir it. So that while he is now going to be collecting the Ketores and the Machta, and creating the cloud of smoke, so the blood doesn't congeal. Okay. What we discussed yesterday was, Rachmanis, what happens if the Kohen Gadol dies after the shechting of the par? So now what does he have? He has Damo Shel Par, he has the blood of the par. So there is going to be a replacement Kohen Gadol. He's going to pick it up right where we left off. Obviously it's tragic, obviously it's emotional. But to borrow a cliche, the show has got to go on. So we're going to now have our replacement Kohen Gadol, and he's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he has the blood of a par, but it's not his par. And by that I mean he didn't do vidui over the par, but he has the damashal par. So is he allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with not the par but damashal par? It's the blood of the bull of the previous Kohen Gadol. That was the question that we asked yesterday. And what did we saw? We saw yesterday it's a major machlokas. Machlokas amongst the Amoraim. And that's pretty much where we left off yesterday. And the Gemara is back and forth on this particular topic. What we're going to continue now today, as we start on Nun Amud Aleph, is a continuation of this very same topic. So Eisvei. So the Gemara says, okay, Eisvei Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Rabbi Ami. So the following question was posed to Rabbi Ami. So if you remember yesterday, so Rabbi Ami, you could see him on yesterday's daf on the Amud Beis, Mem Tes Amud Beis. It is the first wide line. So Rabbi Ami Amar Bepar V'lo B'dama Shopar. So Rabbi Ami is clearly of the position that it has to be the bull, and not just the blood of the bull. which means to say that according to Rabbi Ami, that when you have another Kohen Gadol replacing the Kohen Gadol who Rachmanis he died, so and the par has already been shechted, so you got to start anew. You got to get a brand new par, and you got to start all over again with the par, because just having the blood of the par is insufficient. Okay, so Eitzer Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchal Rabbi Ami. So the challenge now is against Rabbi Ami, and the challenge over here. Normally, when we challenge, we're coming. The challenge is coming from a Mishnah or a Braisa, right? Sometimes even a Memra. Over here, the challenge is coming from a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, "Vautzi es kol hapar." And now, what you're going to do is that you're going to remove the par. Now, this is the removal of the par is talking about after it's been shechted and after the blood's been sprinkled. So, the removal of the par, because this is what's called a chatas apnimios, right? There are a host of a handful of carbon chatos that are particularly special, where the blood is going to be sprinkled in the Heichal. On Yom Kippur, it's actually going to go even more interior. It's going to be sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the chatos apnimius, now what happens to the chatos apnimius when the blood is sprinkled in the Heichal and on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the actual carbon itself is going to be burnt outside of the Azara. We'll talk more about this later in the Masechta. Anyway, it's what's called the chatos apnimius. The Torah gives a really simple description. What we're interested in right now is how does the Torah refer to the par that's being removed? So v'hotzi es kol par, you're going to remove the entire par. Okay, now what indication do you have? That obviously the bull at this point in time is long and dead, and meanwhile the Torah is describing it as par. So you think that when the Torah says the word par, by definition it must mean that you have to be working with a live bull. It's not true, but we have a pasuk over here. So the Gemara says, no, Shiyotzi is kulo. So the Gemara's answer is no. The point over here is that all the remainder of the par has to be taken out. Meaning the Torah over here wants to make a really specific point, and that is that you gotta remove the remainder of the par. But to use this as a referendum as to whether or not a par is called a par before it died, after it died, that you cannot learn anything from that particular pasuk in the Torah. The Gemara says, okay, ves par chatas ves yera chatas. Meanwhile, I quote another pasuk. The pasuk says that the par chatas and sierra chatas. So once again, it's just a pasuk in Chumash. I mean, just. Meaning we're not quoting a brace over here. We're not quoting a Mishnah. It's a pasuk in Chumash. And once again, the idea is that you see how the Torah is describing the bull and the goat after it's shechted, the Torah is calling it a par. So you're telling me that if all I have is just the blood of the par, you can't call that a par? Meanwhile, the Torah over here, and this is now post-shechita, the Torah is describing it as a par. So Amra Papa, so the Amra Papa says like this. Once again, these psukim are not going to be speaking at all to our discussion. Bi'or u'basar u'perishtu kolayam lo pligi. If we're talking about the hide and the flesh and even the excrement. Basically, we were talking about basically the carcass of the remaining carcass of the par and the remaining carcass of the seer. So is the Torah going to call that a par? Is the Torah going to call that a seer? Absolutely. And Rav Papa says that's not under discussion. You know what's under discussion? The blood. In other words, we're talking about whether or not the replacement Kohen can bring in the damoshel par, the blood of the par. That's our only discussion over here. And whether or not that can qualify as being called the par, so that's our discussion. So ki pligi badam, marsav adam ikre par, marsav adam lo ikre par. The Gemara says that, in fact, is the discussion. And the psukim that you cited over here do not weigh into our discussion whatsoever. So basically, a little bit of back and forth, but really, we haven't made any advancement in terms of this particular debate. Amar Ravashi Mistabra, Kamanda Amar Dami Krepar. Ravashi says, look, if I had to choose, which Ravashi, obviously he's entitled, he's an Amara. He says, if I had to choose, I would say that, yeah, that if you have the Dama Par, that's considered Par, Dichsiv. Besos, Yavo Aaron, El Kodesh, Bepar, Ben Bakar. So, Atu Bekar Ne'amai Ole, El Bedama, Bekar Ole Par. So where Ravashi brings down what seems to be a really good proof, and that is, let's go back to the Psukim. And here we're going to go back to the very beginning of Parshas Achrei Mos, where the Torah says, do you know how you're going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? You're going to go in bipar. You're going to go in with a bull. Now, what does that mean? You're actually walking in with a bull? Of course not. What it means is that you're walking in with the blood of the bull. And yet the Torah's description over there is, that's called a par. The blood of the bull is called a par. So Rav Ashi says, okay, I think it's a really good and simple proof that the blood of the bull is considered par. And again, what does that mean to all of us? I mean, to all of us, nothing. But I'm saying, but what does it mean to the Kohen Gadol? So yeah, that means that for the replacement Kohen Gadol, even though all he has is just the blood of the bull, that's considered par, and he doesn't need to start all over again. Okay, so v'idach. Now, if you're going to counter that argument, and you know there are Amoraim who are going to counter that argument, that goes back to yesterday's daf. So v'idach b'mehuchshar aron lavol hakodesh b'par ben bakar lechatas. No, that's not how you understand the pasuk. What you understand the pasuk is that here's the things that you're going to need today in order so that you could do the avod of Yom Kippurim. And here are the things you're going to need in order to gain entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're going to need a bull. But the Torah doesn't mean at that juncture that you're bringing the bull in, and the Torah doesn't even mean you're bringing the blood of the bull in. It just simply means, right, here's a list of items you're going to need in order for the day to work. Okay, that's all. Okay, fine. Adkan. That takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf, which is really just a conclusion of yesterday's discussion. So in the event that the Kohen Gadol dies on Yom Kippur after having shechted the par, so and now left over for the replacement Kohen is just simply the blood of that bull. So does the replacement Kohen now have to go through the whole process again, start with a new bull and do vidui? Or can he just simply pick it up from that point left over? From the remaining blood of the previous Kohen Gadol, and what it comes down to is it's a machlokas, and the machlokas is predicated on whether or not the dam shapar does in fact qualify as bipar. Does that qualify as going in with a bull, even though this Kohen did not do vidui over this particular bull? Right. Just to reiterate, what Dr. Zag is asking is that on the side that he doesn't have to bring his own bull, so he didn't do a vidui, this replacement Kohen, and so now how could he be providing kapar for others if he himself didn't do vidui? Okay, it's an excellent question. I don't have an answer. Maybe, could be. Okay, but it's very good. In other words, he didn't do vidui. Okay, all this brings us now to the end of yesterday's discussion now, and the Gemara is going to discuss still stay on the same point, but now for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be dealing with one other topic, and the par of the Kohen Gadol. So is it a private carbon or is it a public carbon? So it's a tough question, and in fact, not only is it a tough question, it really is going to be covering the remainder of today's daf. Now, we'll start off with a fact. The fact of the matter is that, right, when dealing with a simple question of whether private or public, so follow the money. Okay, who's paying for this carbon? Is it coming out of public money? Is it coming out of the Kohen Gadol's own private bank account? The answer is, it's private money. He's paying for the carbon himself. So from that point alone, it sounds like you can make a really salient and simple argument that this carbon is a carbon yachid, not a carbon tzibur. On the other hand, so we also know that this carbon is providing kapara not only for him, but for all the other kohanim as well. So there are other people that are involved. And I'll also add, although the Gemara doesn't really focus on this point, but it's also just another basic consideration, and that is that as a Kohen Gadol, he's a public figure, meaning he's the one who is providing kapara for everybody. I mean, he's the instrument in which kapara will be provided for everybody. I mean, he's not providing the kapara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing the kapara. But he's the tool. He's the instrument. And so to say now that the par is absolutely 100% a carbon yachid, when meanwhile it is providing kapara for all the kohanim, that for sure. And also the Kohen Gadol is a public figure. Okay, so this is going to be the next part of today's daf. How does this have to do with our discussion right now? So stay tuned. So the Gemara now continues. We are in Nun Amud Aleph. We're about 8-9 lines from the top of the Amud. V'tepa glei dechata shemesu ba'alahi. V'chata shemesu ba'alah lemisa azla. Okay, so let's reset exactly our discussion. The Kohen Gadol has done the vidui not once but twice over the par. The Kohen Gadol has shechted the par. The Kohen Gadol Rachmanis and he dies at that point in time. Now we're having a replacement Kohen. And we are having a discussion. We had it all of yesterday so far, 15 minutes into today's shiur. And we had a discussion as to whether or not the replacement Kohen now could use the blood of this particular par. Now, let's all remind ourselves that as far as this par is concerned, it's a carbon chatos. Okay. What do we know regarding a carbon chatos? We know that a chatos shemesu ba'alaha, that if I have a carbon chatos where its owner dies, so what happens to the carbon chatos? You dispose the carbon chatos. There are five carbon chatoses that need to be disposed of. It's what's called a chatos amesa. And so a chatos shemesu ba'alaha, where the owner of the carbon chatos dies, so the carbon chatos has to be disposed of. So now what the Gemara asks is just a wonderful question. It's a fantastic question, which is, what kind of discussion are we having right now? Can the Kohen Gadol recycle this carbon? Can he not recycle this carbon? What discussion are we having over here? The owner of the carbon chatos just died. Don't we now have to, by definition, dispose of this carbon? And like, why are we even having this discussion? Good, that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because it's not a carbon yachid, it's a carbon tzibur. And so now, here we are. So the Gemara now is going to be deliberating and debating in terms of whether or not the par of the Kohen Gadol is a carbon yachid or a carbon tzibur. Now, as far as the money's concerned, so as I pointed out, he's paying for it. So you can have a private carbon being called a carbon tzibur, and that's pretty much going to be our discussion. So right now, the Gemara is positing that really this carbon is a carbon tzibur, not a carbon yachid, and didnan in the Gemara over here is going to bring a raya. Now, we have the word didnan. Didnan usually means that we're going to be quoting a Mishnah. It happens to be that it's not a Mishnah. It's a brisa. Maybe we can amend it to say ditanya. In fact, on the side of the Gemara, that's exactly what happens over there. Regardless, the brisa says, Amrlo Rebbe Meir, Vehalo, Par Yom Kippurim, Vechaviti Kohen Gadol, Pesach, the Karmen Yachidi. So Rebbe Meir says, look, the Par of Yom Kippur, that's what we're discussing. And the Chaviti Kohen Gadol, that is the Mincha offered by the Kohen Gadol daily. And the Karmen Pesach, they are all three of these are Karmen Yachidu, and Dochas Shabbos Vesatoma. And they're going to override Shabbos, they're going to override Tuma. And obviously we're in the middle of a discussion over here. And just from the context, it's pretty clear that what they're debating is whether or not a carbon yachid can override Shabbos, cannot override Shabbos. So over here, Rebbe Meir is pointing to three carbonas that are going to be a carbon yachid, and meanwhile, they're going to override Shabbos, and they're going to override Tuma. The point that we're trying to gain over here is that Rebbe Meir is obviously talking to somebody, not just talking, debating with somebody, and Mechlal, and the Gemara says, now, I'm sorry, left out a word. La Mechlal de Ikalaman de Amr de Tzibor. So now, whoever he's debating with, so on the other side of that argument, someone is sitting there and arguing that the par of Yom Kippur is a carbon tzibur, not a carbon yachid. Okay? So what we're seeing over here in the Braisa is, this is exactly up for discussion and up for debate. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. You're not right about that. And now the Gemara says, and this is just a continuation of that brisa where Rabbi Yaakov says, "Valo par helam davar shel tzibur." That's the part that if the Sanhedrin gives a psak, and the majority of the Jewish people follow that psak, so there's this special carbon chatas that's brought. It's called the par helam davar shel tzibur, and siyrei avodas kochavim. And also, if the community were to be Ovid Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, so there's a special carbon that's brought over there. It's called the Seir of Avodah Zarah, and the carbon Chagiga, the carbon Tzibur. So all these are carbon Tzibur. V'ein dochen losa Shabbos v'losa Tumah, and it's not going to be overriding Shabbos, and it's not going to be overriding Tumah. So Mechlal Dikalaman Damar Diachin. So now, what do you want to tell me over there? That somebody's of the position that they're carbon yachid? No. In other words, no one's going to be arguing that's a carbon yachid. So what's going on over here is that we misunderstood what they're arguing about. So they're saying to the Tanakhama the following. So the Tanakhama said, well, You know what's Docha Shabbos? You know what's Docha Toma? A carbon seaborn. And a carbon yachid is not going to be Docha Shabbos. It's not going to be Docha Toma. So we're, upon which, Amar lo Rebbe Meir, carbon yachid, klalahu. So he says, look, carbon yachid, you're not always right. Meaning, that's not a hard and fast rule. V'alo par yom ha-kippurim v'chavite kohen gadol pesach de carbon yachid hu v'docha nasa Shabbos v'sa Toma. So he says, look, I'm going to give you three examples of a carbon yachid that are, in fact, going to override Shabbos and are going to override Tuma. V'amar lo Rabbi Yaakov, carbon tzibur klal lahu. And Rabbi Yaakov is also responding to the Tana Kama. You're telling me that a carbon tzibur is always going to override the Shabbos and always going to override the Tuma. And once again, that's not true. V'alo parhelam davar shel tzibur, siri avodas kochav v'chagiga, de carbon tzibur v'endochen lo osa Shabbos v'lo osa Tuma. I'm going to give you three examples of a carbon seabor that's not going to override Shabbos and not going to override Tuma. Again, they are Parhalim Davishol Seabor and the Seer of Avodah Zarah and the Carbon Chagiga. So, Ella Nakod Haiklala Biyadecha. So, what we have to do is we have to restructure the rule. Meaning, the Tana Kama thought that, you know what's overriding Shabbos and Tuma? Carbon seabor. You know what's not? Carbon Yachid. So now, what the Tanaim are pointing out is, your rule's not right. I'm giving you three examples of a carbon seabor that doesn't over, well, I'll go in order. I'll give you three examples of a carbon yachid, that does override. I'll give you three examples of a carbon seabor that does not override Shabbos and Tuma. So what's the rule? Now we all know this, by the way, because Baruch Hashem, the Gemara goes over this numerous times, but, and we did this not so long ago, and Pesachim we did it extensively. Anyway, the rule is very simple. The Gemara here gives it to us. Ella nekod haiklala biyadecha, and that is kol shes manu kavu dochas haShabbos v'sa tuma. Afilu biyachid v'kol shein manu kavu ainu docha lo osa Shabbos v'lo osa tuma. Afilu b'tzibur. You know what overrides Shabbos? You know what overrides tuma? If it's calendarically linked, if the Torah tells us that this must be given on a particular date, so that's going to override Shabbos and that's going to override tuma. And whether it's a carbon tzibur or versus a carbon yachid. Not applicable to this discussion. Good. Okay, that's the rule. Okay, so what came out from all of the above is that for a moment we thought that the par of Yom Kippur, is it a carbon yachid, is it a carbon seabor, machlokis tanayim? What came out from all that is, it's not a machlokis. It is a carbon yachid. The only question now is that what's the rule in terms of when it overrides Shabbos or Tumah and when it doesn't override Shabbos and Tumah? And the answer is, very simply, is it kavu azman? Is it have a date on the calendar? I just want one quick point over here. One of the items that are mentioned as not calendarically linked is the carbon chagiga. Not calendarically linked. Meaning it doesn't override Shabbos and it doesn't override Tuma. Really? Carbon chagiga? You know when you bring the carbon chagiga? On Yontif. Do you know when you don't bring the carbon chagiga? When it's not Yontif. It's a funny statement of the Gemara that the carbon chagiga is not calendarically linked. What does that mean? So Rashi writes over here, Rashi is like about halfway down on the Amud, Dibur Amaschol Chavite Kohen Gadol, Chagiga Ein Zmano Kavua, Lidcho Shabbos Ari Yeshla, Tashlumim Kol Shiva. You know, when it comes to Carbon Chagiga, so you do have a makeup date. Meaning, yes, it's true that the most appropriate time to bring the Carbon Chagiga is the first day of Yontif, but you don't have to bring on the first day of Yontif. If you fail to bring in the first day of Yontif, you can make it up. How many days do you have to make it up? You have 7 days to make it up. Okay. It does sound like a little bit of a strange argument, but you have to say a pshat because obviously the Gemara describes the Karbon Chagiga as something which is not, calendarically based. And of course it is. So that's how Rashi explains it. Anyway, let's set ourselves up again. Okay. Here now becomes the issue. One more time. We have the part of the Kohen Gadol. He did Vidui once, twice. He shechted it. We now have the dam of the par sitting there being stirred in the bowl. The Kohen Gadol dies. The replacement comes in. The discussion of yesterday's daf is, can the replacement just simply pick it up right here and use the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol? And does that qualify as a par of the Kohen Gadol, just because, despite the fact that all he has now is the dam of the par, and he didn't start off with the par itself. And now the Gemara is asking, in today's daf, look, yesterday's daf was a discussion of whether or not the dam or shel par is considered par. Today's daf, we're asking now a follow-up question, and a simple one. Isn't this a carbon chatzis? The answer is yes. And isn't this the carbon chatzos of a yachid? The answer also seems to be yes. And if that's true, what happens to a chatzos shemesu ba'ala? A carbon chatzos shemesu ba'ala is holech lemisa. So how could we be using the dam of the par? How could the replacement Kohen Gadol be using the dam? That's the question. We right now don't have an answer as of yet. Okay, good. Hold that question, right? Srika has not yet been done. Right. Okay, so, Eisvei Abaye. So the Gemara says, okay. So Abaye says the following. Par v'sir sh'yam v'kippurim sh'avdu v'yifir sh'acharim tachtem kulam yamusu. So if I have the par or the seer of Yom Kippur, where either, where it's lost, and we found its replacement. This is another example of a chatas that's holech lemisa. In other words, we lost it and we replaced it. So, v'yifir sh'acharim tachtem kulam yamusu. So what happens? So with the original now is holech lemisa. And v'chein siri avodas kocham shavdu v'yifir sh'acharim tachtem kulam yamusu divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And the same thing with the seer of avodah zarah. It's holech lemisa if in fact it was lost and replaced. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amrim Yirach, Yistava Viyamachru, Viyaplu Demeim, Lenadav Hashem, Chatasibar Mesa. And Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are of the opinion that no, what you'll do is that you'll allow it to graze, and then what you're going to do is you're going to sell it, and the proceeds of the sale are going to go to the, to Nadava. Right? We just come off of the Masechta of Shkalim, where we spoke extensively about the Nadava, that is the remaining 7 pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash, where basically all the money, all surplus money, is put into those 7 pushkas, it's 6, right? It's 13 in total, and in my head I just confused which is the 7, which is the 6. Anyway, it's the 6 remaining pushkas. So those 6 remaining pushkas, so that's going to be used in the slow time in the Beis HaMikdash, when there are not a lot of karbanos that are being offered. That's what's called the nedava. Anyway, according to Rabbi Elazar and according to Rabbi Shimon, so what you do with these karbanos that are no longer needed, is that you allow them to graze, sell them off, and the proceeds are going to go to the nedava. She'in chatasibar mesa, because this is a chatasibar, and it's not holech lemisa. Okay, now, what did we just see over here? We just saw over here that according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda says that if I have a par and a seer where I no longer need it, so we see over here that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is it's a chatas amesa, meaning it needs to be disposed of. And Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are of the opinion, nah, it's a chatas sibor. Nah, chatas sibor is not holech lemisa. Meaning, of course, there's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim that if you are one of the 5 chataos, it's holech lemisa, but that's only applicable to a chatas yachid, not to a chatas sibor. Okay. So, we are clearly learning over here that the question as to whether or not the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, whether or not it's holech lemisa or not holech lemisa, subject to a machlokis amongst the Tanayim. Now, what the Gemara wants to try to do is the Gemara wants to try to deflect. So, I'm relaying my par helam davar shel tzibor. It's a really difficult read of the Braisa, but the Gemara is going to try it out. Maybe when the Braisa opens up with the word par, maybe over there it's talking about the par, not the par of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Maybe it's talking about the par helam davar shel tzibor. So, v'hasho yom kippurim ketani. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's a really tough read of the Braisa. The Braisa says par and seir shel yom kippurim. So kiketani ad seir. So the Gemara says, okay, try out this reading. Now again, what we're about to do is going to be really difficult, but we're going to try it out. We're going to say par. We'll put a comma over there, and then seir shel yom kippurim. Okay, I admit it's a tough read, but the Gemara is trying it out. The Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what, it's a lovely try. It's simply not going to work. We learned in the Braisa, Parsha Yom Kippurim, Vesir Shoyom Kippurim, Sha'avdu V'yifir Shachrim, Tachtayim, Kuli Yamusu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amrim, Yirach Yistava V'yimachru V'yipul Demeim, Lendava She'en Tchata Sibar Mesa. So the Gemara over here quotes the Braisa. It's identical to the Braisa that we just learned. And there's no equivocating in this Braisa. The Braisa couldn't say it any clearer. The Par of Yom Kippur, the Seer of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, okay, So now what comes out very clearly over here is that the Par of Yom Kippur in this Braisa is being described as a Chatas Sibur. So the Gemara says, Lo Tema Shein Chatas Sibur Mesa Ela Ema Shein Chatas HaShutfin Mesa. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? I know the Braisa calls it a Chatas Sibur, but you know what? Let's not call it a Chatas Sibur. If we're not going to call it a Chatas Sibur, so what are we going to call it? So we'll call it a Chatas HaShutfin. So it's not public, it's partnership. Okay. Now we're gonna get, we're really getting into the legalities of what is considered a corporation, what's considered a partnership. Okay. This is, you know, we're really getting into the nitty gritty of the legalities. And the Gemara now wants to know. Okay. So the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So we saw in the Braisa that's called the carbon sibur. The Gemara now is modifying, it's not a carbon sibur, it's carbon shutfim. It's a partnership. The Gemara says, okay, and what did you gain from all that? Umay nafkamina. So the Gemara says, what difference does it make? The lo maisa kohen and par behora. Because we don't want to call the kohanim a corporation. Now I'm using the word corporation. It's obviously a borrowed term. It's a modern term. The better way to say it would be, the Kohanim are not a shevet, right? They don't represent a public entity of the Jewish people. Let me try to explain this a little bit better, right? If you have, let's say, Shevet Yehuda, so they are considered a public entity. If I have the entire Shevet Yehuda, let's say the Sanhedrin of Yehuda came out with a psak, and the entirety of the Shevet, not the entire Jewish people, but the Shevet Yehuda went ahead and followed the Psak. Do they bring the Par Helm Davar Shel Tzibor? Do they now bring the public par for their error? The answer is yeah, they do. Meaning the Par Helm Davar Shel Tzibor is obviously a carbon Tzibor, yeah. And Shevet Yehuda is a Tzibor. But when it comes to the Kohanim, we don't view the Kohanim as a public group. The Kohanim are not a Shevet. Now obviously, Levi, in its total, so that may qualify as a shevet, but the Kohanim do not qualify as a shevet. What do the Kohanim qualify as? They qualify as a partnership. Okay, so they will never be bringing a par helm davar shel tzibur, even in the event where you have the Kohen coming out with a psak, the Bezin coming out with a psak, all the Kohanim following that psak. Nevertheless, they're not eligible to bring the par helm davar shel tzibur. Okay. Huh? So a tzibur is either the entirety of the Jewish people or the entirety of a shevet. That's a tzibur. Okay. With all that stated, so we have the ability now to reset. We are right now in the middle of a discussion regarding the nature of the power of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Okay. He's paying for it. That's a given. What does it qualify as? Is it a partial yachid? Is it a partial tzibur? What difference does it make? It makes a difference in terms of our discussion. Because in yesterday's daf and today's daf, we are discussing right now where the Kohen Gadol died. The replacement now comes in, filling in for the Kohen Gadol. And the question now becomes, can he use the par of the previous Kohen Gadol? And the question of yesterday's daf, whether or not it is, if the Damoshel par is considered par or not considered par. And today, the Gemara wants to know, I don't understand. If it's a private carbon, which it seems to be, and it's a private carbon chata, so you know what happens when the owner dies? It's holech lemisa. It's one of the five types of chataos, which is holech lemisa. So what discussion are we having over here? So what the Gemara now is trying to adjust is our thought process that's not really a carbon yachid, but it's really a carbon sibor, or a modified version of that discussion. Well, maybe it's not a carbon sibor, but at least it's a carbon ashutfin. It's a partnership carbon. And so therefore, it is not a carbon yachid. Well, you don't have to say that. Okay, it may be true, but the Torah never gives us that rule, so you need a source for that in order to say. No, I mean whatever, not necessarily. Okay, and in fact, right now the Torah tells us that the part of the Kohen Gadol, which presumably is a carbon yachid. Again, that's exactly today's daf. Today's daf is equivocating on this very point, but presumably it's a carbon yachid, and it does go into the Kodesh Kedashim. Okay, so now with all that, Tashma Debai Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's consider the following now, as we turn to the Amud Beis. The Divrei Amar Parayam Kippurim Karban Yachid, Osa Tamura, Oin Osa Tamura. Okay, now, if you're going to subscribe to the whether or not the Parayam Kippur is a Karban Yachid, so can it affect Tamura, cannot affect Tamura? Okay, a brief crash course in Tamura, an entire Masechta dedicated to this topic. And again, a lot of us went through it together, the Masechta. So we know that what a person has the right to do, even though he shouldn't be doing it, the Torah says, don't do it. And then the Torah says, but if you do it, it's effective. And that is to transfer the Kedusha from one carbon to another carbon. Creating a, it's my worst pun, but whatever. It doesn't seem like I can get tired of it. You're making a carbon copy. Okay, so now that secondary carbon now is going to have the same kedusha as the original carbon. However, the transfer does not go all the way through. The original carbon still retains its kedusha, and now the secondary carbon is also going to have that kedusha as well. Right, v'hayahu usmuraso yekodesh. Right, it, the original carbon, and the one that you affected are both going to have kedusha. Okay, here's rule number one when it comes to tamura. It only works by carbon yachid. It does not work by carbon seaborne. Okay, rule number one. That's a bit of an exaggeration. I'm sure there are other very basic rules, but you understand. A basic rule when it comes to tamura, and that is it only works by carbon yachid, not by carbon seaborne. Question, even if I subscribe to the idea that the par of the Kohen Gadol is a carbon yachid, which the Gemara acknowledges, I know that's a point of controversy. Right, go back to the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Right, the Tanaim are going back and forth on this issue. But even if I subscribe to the idea that it's a carbon yachid, question on the table: can it affect tamura? Even if I held that it's a carbon yachid, so lav mechlal de ikalaman da amar de tzibur. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, when Rebbe Lazar is asking that question, so built into the question, isn't he making a full acknowledgement that not everyone holds that it's a carbon yachid, and some hold that it's a carbon seabor? So, lo, mechlal de'iklaman da'am de'shutvim. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. In other words, what would be the contrast? Meaning, who is he acknowledging? He's acknowledging that there are a group of people that hold not that it's a carbon yachid, but rather, it's a carbon shutvim. In other words, partnership as opposed to corporation. Okay, again, the Gemara really is struggling in terms of giving good definition of what the par Kohen Gadol is. Your three options on the table are it's either carbon yachid or it's a carbon seabor. Those are the two extremes. Or this kind of like middle approach where it's a carbon shutvim. Okay. Gufa. Okay, as long as we raise the question, the Gemara says, you know what? I'd love to address the question a little bit more. Meaning that if I held that the par Kohen Gadol is in fact a carbon yachid, so can it affect tamura? Now again, it's a funny question because the Torah doesn't want us to do that. And here we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, who, you know, you would think is a very religious personality. It's fair to argue. And over here now, right? What if he affects Tamura with this power of on Yom Kippur? Okay. He shouldn't have done it. Okay. That's not the question. The question is it effective? So, Gufa Bai Rabbi Elazar L'Divrei Amar Par Yom Kippur and Karban Yachid Osa Tamura and Osa Tamura. So my kami ba'ilei. So the Gemara says now, the Gemara is wondering out loud, like what's the question over here? So e baser makdish alzinan and baser miskaper alzinan. So the Gemara says, look, when we are asking the question of the identity of a carbon vis-a-vis tamura, do we follow who's makdish? Who is the makdish of the carbon? Meaning, to put it in simple terms, who's sponsoring the carbon or who is the carbon providing a kapara for? Gemara says, pshita debasa miskaper azlinan. So the Gemara says, when it comes to tamura, the very definition of a carbon is always going to follow the miskaper, the one receiving kapara. How do I know that? Gemara says, we know it. So back in tamura, we went over this a couple of times. And over here in Yuma, we get to go over it in today's daf. And that is, Amar Rabbi Abao, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha-makdish mosif chomesh. So as far as the additional surcharge of 25%. So that's the makdish. Okay, I'm not going to go through it right now in terms of if I sponsor carbon on behalf of somebody else, even though he's receiving the kapara, but I'm the one who sponsors the carbon. In the event that I have to I have to redeem the carbon, so I'm the one, meaning me, the sponsor, I'm the one that's going to have to add the 25% surcharge. The Torah says that in the event of being mechalal, of redeeming, so it is the owner who has to add a chomesh. Ownership over here is defined by the sponsor. That's not relevant to our discussion. Good. What is relevant for our discussion is the next comment. V'amiskaper osa batmura. Who can affect tmura? The miskaper. Now, by the way, that's really funny. Meaning, I'm sponsoring a carbon for somebody. Okay. In other words, he needs a carbon. I'm sponsoring it for him. And meanwhile, who can affect tmura? The miskaper. He can affect tmura even though I'm the one who paid for the carbon. Okay. And then the third point, which again is not relevant to our discussion, is that if I'm sponsoring truma for somebody else, meaning right now, you know what? You got all that grain, you're struggling. I'll sponsor your truma. I'll give truma on your behalf. You could do that. So so who is now going to have the tovas anah? Tovas anah, that's going to be, the allocating rights of determining who's going to be the recipient. So you know, it's a funny way to say it, and maybe I shouldn't say it this way, but you can get greased for giving truma to a particular kohen, right? Rashi right here on today's daf. So he writes that basically what you can have is you can have a grandparent of a kohen, even though the grandfather himself is not a kohen, meaning it's his daughter's son. So the grandparent of a kohen coming over to you and saying, "Hey, look, I know you have truma to give. Why don't you give it to my grandson?" And, you know, and he slips you a 5. Or 100. whatever the number is. And that can happen. Okay. So, and that's what's called tovas anah, meaning your right to determine who to allocate the money to. So that has a value, right? I've said this before. Ask any politician, right? Is there a value to having that kind of ability? Or you have the right to allocate money to any particular to any particular source, and the answer is yes. And what we find all the time is that the politicians are going to get greased, okay? And it's illegal. And meanwhile, that's just simply how the world works. Fine. So anyway, so over here it is legal. It is totally possible. And so now, who's given this tovas anah? So it's going to be the Torah, the one who is sponsoring the truma. Okay. Again, not relevant to our discussion. Of the 3 points that we just went over, so it's a middle point, however, that we want to focus on. And that is that in terms of who can affect tamura, the miskaper. Now, let's think this, let's say this out loud. Okay, the par of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Who's the sponsor? The Kohen Gadol. Who's the one receiving kapara? All the Kohanim. So now, is it a private carbon? Is it a public carbon vis-a-vis tamura? It's public carbon vis-a-vis tamura, of course. So now, what the Gemara wants to know is, look, what kind of question are you asking? You're asking the question as to whether or not, if I hold that the part of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is a par shel yachid, so can we affect tamura with it, yes or no? What are you talking about? Tamura is always going to be a function of who's receiving the kapara. And who's receiving the kapara is going to be all the kohanim. So the Gemara says, what you're asking seems to be not a good question. Meaning, it's not, we know the answer, right? The Gemara over here, really interesting. The Gemara says, no. La'olam pshita le debasa miskaper aslina. The Gemara says, no, I knew that. I knew that when it comes to tomorrow, we follow the miskaper. I'm fully aware of that. V'hachi kami ba'ile. However, what I'm about to ask is the following. And that is, Echav HaKohanim B'Kviyasa Miskapre, Odilma B'Kufya Miskapre. How do all the other Kohanim receive a Kapara through the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Do they receive it through Kviyas, or do they receive it through Kufya? Okay, so let me try to explain the either side of this question. So Kviyas over here is not that hard to explain. Kviyas over here just simply means that, the Kohen Gadol is the one who's paying for the carbon, but in terms of who gets to enjoy the kapara from this carbon, it's going to be all the Kohanim. And kviyas over here means, and this operates like a standard procedure of any time somebody is providing a carbon on behalf of other people. And so therefore, who is the miskaper? All the Kohanim. And therefore, can we affect more with the part of the Kohen Gadol? The answer is clearly no. That's one possibility. Which, if I had a vote, which I don't, but if I had a vote, so this is probably the more reasonable, rational way to look at it, right? However, the Gemara gives an alternative way to look at it, and that's kufya. Bekufya miskapre. Now Rashi over here, I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Dilma bekufya miskapre klamar. Ein kaparasam kavua bo. So really what happens over here is that the other Kohanim, so they're not receiving formal kapara. Rashi writes, Ela safa agav kaparas kohen gadol. They're basically just coming along for the ride of the kapara of the kohen gadol. Kedavar hatsaf apane hamayim. It's like something floating on top of water. Meaning basically they're swept up in the kapara. Really, fundamentally, the kapara is being achieved by the Kohen Gadol. And the other Kohanim, they're kind of like, almost like derivatives of the Kohen Gadol. It's a really interesting way to say it. Veina karban nikra al-shman v'karban yachid hu. And therefore, they really don't have any particular association with the karban. And really, what we could do is we could look at this as principally a karban yachid. Not only in terms of sponsorship, but even in terms of kapara as well. Okay. Again, it's not the, I wouldn't call this a conventional way to look at it, but the Gemara says, but that is a way to look at it. If in fact that's the correct way to look at it, so then you would be allowed to affect Temura, with this carbon. Again, you wouldn't be allowed to, but it would work. Temura would work with this carbon. Okay, so Tashma. So what we'll do now is we'll just go through one round of back and forth over here to see whether or not the part of the Kohen Gadol can be called a Karban Yachid, not only in terms of sponsorship, but even in terms of Kapara, and thereby affecting Temura. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's consider now the following Braisa. Chomer b'zevach mi b'temura, v'chomer b'temura mi b'zevach. So we have a principle, we have the derivative. The Zevach is the principal carbon. In other words, the carbon that I'm makdish. And then, of course, we have the derivative, which is the Temura. You know, in some areas of Halacha, the principle is more chamer than the derivative. And in other areas of halacha, the derivative is more chamer than the principle. So chamer, zevach noig biyachid uvitzibor. So in terms of where the principle is more chamer, right? So first of all, the principle is effective both by an individual carbon and by a communal carbon. And v'dochis, the Shabbos fesa toma n'overayt, Shabbos and overayt toma, v'oset tamura, and the principle can effect a derivative. Masha'en came with Temura, and all this is not true by the Temura, meaning everything we just said regarding the principle is not true by a Temura, meaning a Temura, you cannot affect a Temura from a Tzibor. A Temura is not going to override Shabbos. A Temura is not going to override Tumah. A Temura can't affect a Temura, meaning you only can make one derivative. You cannot make a derivative from a derivative. Okay. And then Chomer b'tumor mi b'zevach. Now there are Chomers that you have by the Tumor that you don't have by the principle. Sha Tumor chala al ba'mum kavua. Let's say that you try to affect Tumorah on already a carbon that's a ba'mum. So if you did it originally, meaning if the ba'mum was the original Kedusha, so you know what happens? What happens is that it only has Kedusha's damim. It does not have Kedusha's aguf. However, by Tumorah, a funny thing happens. In that it's going to receive Kedusha Sagof. Now, because it's a Ba'amum, it can't be offered, and of course we're going to redeem it, but when it's redeemed, the Kedusha doesn't go away in its entirety. It's still going to have residual Kedusha, i.e., you can only eat it, you can only eat it. You can't work it, you can't shear it. Okay. It's what's called Psule HaMukudashin. Where that's not true by the zevach, by the principle. Meaning by the principle, if it were a baal mum and I were makdish it, it only has kedushas damim, not kedushas aguf. Okay. Anyway, we just learned a wonderful braisa highlighting the differences between the initial kedusha and the derivative kedusha, otherwise known as temura. Now, over here, hai zevach hechi dami. Now, when we say zevach over here, what are we describing over here? Ilema diachid, so midachid Shabbos v'tuma. So are we talking about a carbon yachid? Or what carbon yachid is going to override Shabbos? And what carbon yachid is going to override tuma? Well, ala de tzibor, well, we're talking about a carbon tzibor. So mio said tumura, well, a carbon tzibor is not going to be, we can't affect tumura with a carbon tzibor. So ala lav, so basically what we're looking for is some form of a hybrid. We're looking for a carbon yachid that's going to override Shabbos and tuma. Huh. Can we think of that? What would be an example of a carbon yachid that's going to be overriding Shabbos and going to be overriding Tumah? Now, it happens to be that the answer was given to us earlier this morning. Okay? And the Gemara says, I think I know the answer. Elalav de par. V'doches Shabbos v'esa Tumah dikfi aleizman. So, the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so does it override Shabbos? You bet it does. Meaning because it has to be brought on the 10th day of Tishrei. Otherwise known as Yom Kippur. It's kavu azman. And it's also going to be overriding Tumah as well. V'ose t'mora de karben yachid hu. And, assuming we're right, so then it also is going to affect Tumah. Do you know why? Because it's a karben yachid. Not just in terms of sponsorship, but also in terms of who's receiving the kapara. And that would be the Kohen Gadol. Aren't all the other Kohanim receiving kapara as well? Nah. In other words, they are receiving kapara, but only riding the wave. I'm borrowing Rashi's language. Riding the wave of the Kohen Gadol. The true miskaper of the par of the Kohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol, and all the other Kohanim are just getting some sort of residual kapara, if you will. Okay, so it sounds like now, at least if we're right in the way we just explained the Braisa, that the par of the Kohen Gadol is a carbon yachid, and it can affect Tamura. Okay, so Amar Rav Sheshet Lo Be'elo Shel Aaron. So, and the Gemara over here deflects, and the Gemara says, nah, we're talking not about the par of the Kohen Gadol, but we're talking about the aisle of the Kohen Gadol, meaning another carbon, which we really have not spoken about extensively up until this point in the Masechta, and we'll talk about later in the Masechta, is that the Kohen Gadol also brings an aisle, right? It's right, the Psukim speak about it very clearly. And the aisle that's brought by the Kohen Gadol, it's a carbon ola, not a carbon chatas, and maybe that's what the Braisa is in fact referring to. Hachinami Mestapa, the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, it's a lot more reasonable to suggest that. Disakadacha de paro. So tomorrow de par, Shabbos v'tumahu de lo dachi habachol mikra of kreva. The Gemara says, and can I ask you, if we were really talking about the par of the Kohen Gadol, that's what the Bryce is describing. So let's think about this. Like, in other words, just let's speak it out. The par of the Kohen Gadol, it can affect tomorrow. But I can't bring it on Shabbos and I can't bring it on, and it doesn't override tumah. Oh, it doesn't override Shabbos and it doesn't override Tumah. You mean to say that on any other occasion we would offer it? Of course we wouldn't offer it. The Gemara says, HaTumur is Chatasi. Remember, the part of the Kohen Gadol is the carbon Chatas. And so what, if I made a Tumur out of it. So you know what that's called? It's very simple. It's called the Tumur is Chatas. Do you know what happens to a Tumur is Chatas? It's one of the five Chatas Amesos. It has to be disposed of. Utumur is Chatas Amesa Hazla. So, and it's holech lemisa. So there's no way that it could be talking about the part of the Kohen Gadol. So it's more reasonable to suggest that it's talking about the aisle. Okay. It is a funny place to stop, but we're going to stop over here. This discussion goes well into tomorrow's daf, so we'll pause at this point in time. Okay, let's summarize, right? It's today's daf admittedly was definitely a tricky daf in that the discussions, it was focused on one discussion, but most of today's daf is focused on one discussion, but really just a lot of back and forth on this particular discussion. Okay, so let's quickly summarize. Number one, just a conclusion of yesterday's daf, the replacement Kohen Gadol who's left with the blood of the par of the previous Kohen Gadol. Is that sufficient? Is that called the partial Kohen Gadol? And the answer is debatable, right? Debated yesterday's daf, and the debate concluded with no resolution in terms of whether or not the par, the dam of the par is considered enough so that the Kohen Gadol can use it. The Rambam writes, in terms of his conclusion, is that dam shel par is considered par. And so therefore the replacement Kohen Gadol does not have to restart with a new par. Okay. Anyway, that ends yesterday's discussion. And then today's discussion is the following. The par of the Kohen Gadol. So, is it a carbon yachid or is it a carbon seaboard? And so the Gemara on the Amud Aleph started that discussion and really went back and forth in terms of how to view this par. Now, in terms of who pays for the par, so that's not open for discussion. The Kohen Gadol pays for the par, but in terms of how to view it, do we view it as a carbon yachid or as a carbon seabor? What eventually the Gemara concluded as we got to the Amud Aleph of today's daf is that to call it a carbon seabor is really... it's not relevant. Meaning, the Kohanim are not a tzibur. They are not considered a corporate entity of the Jewish people. A shevet is considered a corporate entity, but not the Kohanim. What are they if they're not a corporate entity, if they're not a tzibur? So what they are is a partnership. Okay. So really now what comes out is our two choices of how to describe the part of the Kohen Gadol is whether to call it a yachid or whether to call it a carbon shutfis. Okay, good. So anyway, so that's where we left off. On the Amud Beis, so now as a residual of this discussion, so the Gemara now wants to know, if in fact we're going to call it a carbon yachid, so now can it affect a tamura? Yes or no? And so now, what is this question really predicated on? So here's what we know. We know that a tamura is going to, you can only affect a tamura, only with a carbon yachid, not based on who paid for it, but who it's providing a kapara for. If it's providing kapara for an individual, it can affect tamura. If it's providing kapara for a group, even if it's a partnership, it cannot affect a tamura. And so now, our part of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who is it providing kapara for? So the easiest way to say it is it's providing kapara for all the Kohanim, and therefore it cannot affect tamura. However, the Gemara now is trying on a fancier pshat, which is that the part of the Kohen Gadol is providing kapara only for the Kohen Gadol, i.e. saying vidui for all the other Kohanim, and they're just riding his wave. Meaning that in principle, this carbon is really a kapara for just the Kohen Gadol, i.e. all the other Kohanim, they're riding the wave. And so that means to say that this is really principally a carbon yachid with a kapara for just one individual, i.e. the Kohen Gadol, and so therefore it can affect tamura. That's what we're trying on as a pshat. The Gemara quoted a brisa. The brisa sounds like it supports this idea, but the Gemara is deflecting that brisa.